on the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slide, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into another exciting episode of the Bench Boys Podcast. I'm Colin Cahill.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And we are the Bench Boys. And let's just say it, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the clock is ticking on the football season.
That's absolutely right.
We were just talking before the show. Literally, I mean, we're literally almost done with the season. Like, we're now starting to talk conference championships, and that means the end of the season, and then another 8 months of sadness.
Sadness. I'm already starting to feel a little sad.
Yeah, a little bit.
But if you want to see all of our takes from the past year, catch up with anything that we've been doing, hit that subscribe button right now, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. We're on Facebook. We just haven't been on there in a while because, I mean, the Russians are coming and we're all scared because we're running out of tinfoil at this point. The point is, let's get back to it. The Sun Belt. We're getting down to the end of the season and there's so much on the line these next few weeks. And there's so many games that mean a big deal.
Huge.
For players, for teams, for whatever. Let's just go ahead and get out of the gate.
Out of the gate.
Out the gate, well, we're reviewing what just happened this past weekend. Huge, huge weekend for a lot of big teams. We had the big game of the week with App State and Georgia State. But first, we're going to go to that other Georgia team, the Georgia Southern Eagles, taking on UL Monroe. And, of course, Georgia Southern did get the win, 50-point output for Georgia Southern. I think they're a little mad after what Troy did to him this past
Absolutely.
Or 2 weekends ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, they really kind of opened it up. 245 yards rushing, which still, that's kind of below their season output. They still are expected to be closer to 19. This was, on paper, both these teams, Georgia Southern, 5 of 13 on third down. UL Monroe, 2 of 13. But UL Monroe was 2 of 13, but then on fourth down, they were 100% 4 for 4. Only mustered up 29 points. Georgia Southern gets the huge win, and that was great for Georgia Southern. Bad for UL Monroe.
Yeah, while we're still talking stats here, pull up my player of the week from last week. Caleb Evans went 21 of 36, 285 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions. That's the big deal.
Yeah,
I think it's also important to look down here at the rushing, 85 yards total from all three rushers.
Yeah, Georgia Southern really shut down that rushing attack. Which is very shocking because Troy, I think, what did Troy, didn't they run for almost 300 yards on him last weekend?
Something like that.
Somebody put a fire in that defense and woke him up. The big thing, you kind of hit on it, 2 interceptions. They had 3 total turnovers. Georgia Southern, nothing. No turnovers. That's how you win ball games, and that's what Georgia Southern did. Really, really hurt UL Monroe. Like, UL Monroe needed to win this game to take a little bit of pressure off of them in these last two games, but now these last two games are do or die, just like our code open said, for this team. And we're going to get into that later on in our pick'ems.
Another team that we're going to be talking about with that is Coastal Carolina. Almost had it,
Lord,
this weekend.
I was, because I'd picked Ark State. I think we both picked Ark
State. We did.
Because we just thought Ark State was going to be able to, their offense was going to really move the ball. And Coastal Carolina, credit them. Omar was still held under to 100 yards. Which that's really, really good. I don't think there's been any other Sunbelt team that has been able to hold him maybe underneath 100 yards for the entire for a game.
The only team I can think of is Georgia, and that's definitely not Sunbelt.
They aren't Sunbelt, and Georgia's got a pretty solid defense. But I mean, just like this one, Coastal Carolina, 23 first downs to Arkansas State's 15. Like that's a winning success right there. We're talking 233 yards on the ground, which is exactly what Coastal Carolina wants to do. They got to get over that 200-yard plateau. They did. But, man, oh, man, was this game sloppy. 8 total turnovers.
Woo.
8. Ark State had 5 of them. 3 fumbles. 2 interceptions. Coastal Carolina had 3. And that's very rare that you see somebody give up 5 turnovers and still win the ball game and score 28 points when you have 5 turnovers. This is the biggest one, though.
Go ahead.
I know I'm holding off on this. Time of possession. Coastal Carolina, 41 minutes
wow.
of possession to 18 minutes of possession for Ark State.
18.
That is...
Let's crunch some numbers here.
That is a lot to a little while you're crunching the numbers. Just what a game. I mean, literally, I mean, Ark State, I think, scored with under a minute to go to take the lead. And then they get a great stop with Coastal Carolina driving. It was a fantastic game. And another big game for both of those two schools, because one school, it gave them bowl eligibility. The other one put them behind the eight ball.
You know how Arkansas State got bowl eligibility for the ninth year in a row? They scored 15.555555 points a minute.
That's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah. Yeah. They've had Ark State been living on the edge lately. Last week, they played UM Monroe 48-41 game. This week, 28-27. I'm sure a lot of their fans have gotten some gray hair over the past 2 weeks, but they're bowl eligible. Blake Anderson, bowl eligible, great story there. You predicted them to go to the Cure Bowl. I think people are kind of jumping on that bandwagon now. But Ark State in the driver's seat. They're ready for a bowl game. Coastal Carolina, again, behind the eight ball, just like UL Monroe as well. So
we'll get to that in a second, but let's keep going a little bit with these games from last week. Who'd you have next?
I think we're headed out to Texas for your...
Let's do it. Let's do it. So... It's pretty clear that we are Troy alums and Troy fans here. I do not have to be biased to pick my Hustle Award winner.
I mean,
this
I wasn't.
Week.
I had him last week. Their right. defense finally showed
so,
up.
So, I mean, Caleb Barker. You can't say anything more about him.
I don't think it's even biased. You have.
That's what I'm saying.
You do what he did. It's not like you're being biased. He was Sun Belt Player of the Week.
363 yards.
Yeah.
That. 363 yards. He covered the football almost four times.
Football field.
Football
yeah.
field. Yeah. Almost four times.
Yeah.
With just in one game. And that's just passing. 30 for 43. The team only dropped 13 passes or broke up 13 passes. Mm-hmm. This guy was on fire, and there wasn't another team that, like Texas State, for him to do this against. I was saying something this weekend. I was talking with somebody. In one season, Caleb Barker has really, really made a case to be in Ben on Sports, Ben Whitehead's next best quarterbacks of the Troy history poll.
Oh yeah.
He's been doing those this year. I think if he were to do them again right now, Caleb Barker would be in contention just based on this one season alone. He's broken just about every single record. Every single school record that he possibly can. 186 RTG was that.
That's his rating, but I'm talking Good about night. That. That was his for the game.
For his passer rating for the game.
Yeah, he's got
186.
He's got over 3,000 yards passing this season.
Yeah,
I think since I've been there, with the exception of Corey Robinson, I think Corey might have had a 3,000 yard season.
He did.
When I was there.
He had one.
I think he had a 4,000 season
he
too.
Probably did.
But he's got 3,100 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, QBR rating of 69.7, which is top 40 in the country, mind you. He's top 10 in the country in total yards passing. He's top 10 in the country in touchdowns. And for some odd reason, he's not on the Davey O'Brien Award list, which is given to the best quarterback in the country.
There he is, number 5.
Shocking.
Pass yards.
Number 5 in the country. Who's ahead of him, buddy?
Shane Buechel, SMU, Brock Purdy, Iowa State, Joe Burrow, probably a Heisman
probably
candidate.
Probably going to be Joe Burrow, I think, we're getting off here, that's your Heisman right there.
Oh, yeah.
I think what he did against Alabama and then what he's followed it up against this week, he's just ahead. And then Anthony Gordon, okay, I'm sorry, you're playing for Mike Leach. Like, you pretty much just live in the clouds when you play with Mike Leach on an emotional and physical level. So, as you can see, 3,100 yards, though, for Caleb Barker. 363. I mean, his last couple of games have been insane. I'm just going off of you right here. 363, 330, 385, 421. Those are his last four games.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid numbers right there. I mean,
absolutely.
Stupid numbers. Perfect player of the week. 6 touchdowns. I mean, the kid, he had 5 in the first half. And then they took him out, and then Texas State decided to score a couple of times, and they had to put him back in, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to keep scoring touchdowns on you guys.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. And so Troy takes the win 63-27 with two games left. They're 5-5. If they win one, they're bowl eligible. If they win two somehow, they're guaranteed a bowl game. Well, I'll tell you this much. If Troy beats App State, they deserve a bowl game.
Ooh, Lord. I mean, and you talk about Troy. That officially eliminated Texas State. So Texas State, sorry, next year, first year's Babbittal. It was not a bad year, I think, for Texas State. They had the big win over Georgia State. They showed a glimpse of really what Babbittal is going to bring for Texas State next, I think, in the future. So that was good for them. That's what a coach needs. He needs one win that people can kind of focus on. The team that didn't get that, though, or hasn't had that this year, South Alabama. Man, I'm just going to say it right now, and I'll take it because I was so close, and I was a big South Alabama fan. Before the season, I predicted them in my season predictions that they were going to beat ULL. Damn near did. They gave them a heart attack.
Look at the final score, it's 37-27, but until basically the last few seconds of that third quarter, they were either up or down by a score. Mm-hmm. And it was very... very close. Louisiana got a gosh darn scare.
Oh, I mean, okay, let me just tell you the stats here. Of the two teams, rushing, 351, 255.
I'm going to go 351 Louisiana.
Nope, dead wrong. South Alabama ran for 351 yards.
On Louisiana.
Louisiana only had 255 yards rushing, which is what they expect. But they actually averaged 290 a game. So for them to do that, they both had 23 first downs. Here's the thing. South Alabama could not extend drives. 3 of 10 on third down. You got to be 50%, especially against a team like Louisiana. And to be honest with you, I think South overachieved in this game. When you talk about we have labeled Louisiana basically 1A, 1B in terms of physicality in this league. And you talking about you just ran for 351 yards on this defense. Now, granted, I did see Louisiana did have a couple injuries to their D-line. And those guys, just let you know, before you make your pick, because I know we haven't picked our games yet, those guys still are day-to-day, and some of them are not expected to play this weekend. So that might have been a reason why they made a little dent in this UL rushing defense.
And that's what I was going to go with is compare that to the 1A, 1B matchup we had earlier this year. Appalachian State gained. This isn't mean including the lost yards. This App State only gained 229 yards. That's less than both teams netted last night.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Saturday night in where was it? Was in Louisiana? No, it was in Mobile. It was here in Mobile.
Yeah. Second to last game in the Lad. So that was the scare I think that UL probably needed. I think USA got them last year or the year before, one of the 2 years. And that's why I was thinking, okay, they got to come down to Mobile. They're gonna shock them here. They're gonna do something. South is gonna pull that. They're gonna get that win. They got to get that win.
Can we take a second and talk about South real quick? I know it's off the cuff, and but
that's what
they're
do.
Awful this year based on records alone, based on stats alone.
Yeah.
But since they put in Desmond Trotter,
different.
It's been a different team.
Different.
I was the one who said. Last year or the year before, I think, Cephas Johnson is the quarterback of the future there. I had all my faith in him. I said, just give him one more year. Here I am. I'm owning up to it. Get him out.
Yeah.
Desmond Trotter should have been the quarterback to start this entire year.
I think they've done that. I think when you start 1-7 and you play the way you played against Troy, you played the way you played against, Nebraska, he looked really good, and I think that kind of got him like 4 games worth of playing time. They kind of expected to see that, and he just hasn't been there. And Kenny Edenfield, he's a guy, I mean, you and me saw him, he's a guy, now he hasn't had the situation where you got to give the ball to a hot hand, because when he was at Troy, obviously it was Corey Robinson when he was there, it was Brandon Silvers when he was there, but obviously he's taken this motto of, we've got to change up. We got to do something. And this Desmond kid, I mean, he's not putting up groundbreaking numbers by any means, but the offense just looks a little, it looks a step quicker. Like everybody kind of looks a little bit better in tune with each other than what they did with Cephas in there. And it's just that's kind of been the knack. I've known some people that have known, actually know a coach that coached Cephas in high school. And he said that was one of his biggest things is the kid has all of the talent, physical traits any quarterback ever needs in college. The problem is him picking up a playbook and getting it down, it just wasn't there. That's how it was in high school, and they build an offense around that. Well, the problem is college, you can't just get by on physical talent and traits. Like, you've got to be able to dissect defenses, and even in the Sun Belt, like, you've got to be able to do that, and he can't do that. He hasn't shown that he's been able to do that. So, what a scare down in Mobile for UL. I think that's what they needed to wake them up, because they've got a huge game against Troy this weekend. Huge, I think. I mean, this is going to be – I mean, I was looking at Napier's press conference today, and he said, we have not played an offense like Troy at all this year. We haven't, and this is going to – they are a problem. That is literally what he said is, they are a problem. And if a head coach is saying they are a problem, you know that he's looking at a lot of tape – trying to figure out how to just slow Troy down, because Troy's averaging 40 points a game this year. So, but we will get onto that in our pick-ems. The last one that we have to go to, and this is where my Been On Sports Player of the Week comes from, is the App State Georgia State game. And let me tell you something, that first quarter, Georgia State looked like, whoa.
We were all surprised.
Like, whoa.
What, Dan Ellington is actually playing on a torn ACL and he's kicking butt?
So word got out early Saturday morning, I think, that he was going to dress. And everybody's like, okay, why would he be dressing? And then ESPN, I think Game Day, came out and said he's going to start. And that's when everybody was like, what? Like, and this was after Monday press conference of Sean Elliott basically ruling him out for the year, like he was done. And which, when you get a torn ACL, that's what most people think is, okay, you're done for the year. The thing people don't understand, and I was talking to you over the weekend about this, and this is from a couple medical personnel sources that I have, not to be named, but I talked to a couple of them, and you can play on a torn ACL. If you're a running back, yeah, it's going to limit you, but dropping back, throwing it, as long as you don't make cuts, that's really the only time that it really you need one. But you can play on it torn. You can't play on it when you have a surgery, when you repair it, when you fix it. You have to have time to let it heal. That's when you can't play on it. So what probably happened is he went to the team doctor. The team doctor said, "Well, can you run? Can you run a straight line?" And he said, "Yeah." And he goes, "There you go. And go play." And so that's probably what happened. Dan Ellington, obviously, he talked today about it in his press conference. And man, oh man, I mean, warrior right there.
Absolutely.
That's what you think of when you hear a guy that, and he even said, he goes, "I wanted to win a Sun Belt championship, a divisional championship for my team." And good on for him. 6-3. You're playing a top 25 team at home. What kid isn't going to want to go out there and suit up for his team and play?
And be a part of that.
And be a part of it and be able to beat the first ever ranked team to come into your stadium. Like straight up warrior, that's what he gets. Unfortunately, he wasn't my Been On Sports player of the week. But that right there, we can't just walk by that and not talk about it. I mean, that was an incredible, incredible act of just never giving up on your team, always there for your team. He went 12 of 27. Yes, he did have two interceptions, but just him showing up and being there and being at the game and playing, you want to know the leadership that shows to every other guy on that team. Like the freshmen, they're going to remember that, and they're going to try to live up to that for the next 4 years of their life. And that what he and he understands that he this is a that they're going through a character just total like redo at that program. I know they're a young program, but that right there, that establishes a huge foundation, a solid foundation for the years to come to say, this guy just put everything on the line and he did it on a torn ACL.
Well, I think it's worth pointing out that doesn't just come from the one player. That's got to come from up top as well. And we've talked about it before. We've talked about it to people at Media Days. Mm-hmm. The one guy, the one crazy guy that's leading this whole thing and has his players right where he wants them emotionally mentally. And mentally mm-hmm. is Sean Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
We asked them who is the one guy that the crazy hype up guy. And who was it we asked? It wasn't Penny Hart.
No, we talked to a lineman.
That's what it was.
From Georgia State about it.
It was Sean Elliott.
Yeah.
He'd run through a brick wall for you. Yeah. He'd run through a brick wall and then run through a brick wall for you. Like,
No, it
that, you talk about culture.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
culture
right.
Culture change at Georgia State. Like, and you know, I know we've compared South and Georgia State a lot because of just the youth of each football program. That's a team that a lot of South Alabama fans are going to say, well, how come we aren't there? And I don't think it's because you don't have the right guy there yet. I just think it's going to take a little bit more time for you guys. That's the big thing for South. But Georgia State, well, man, you got a guy that...
We could spend a whole hour talking about that, yeah. Those merits.
But on to my Ben On Sports Player of the Week. I know I've been holding off on it. You thought it was going to be a wide receiver. It actually is a wide receiver.
Oh, really?
But it was not Omar Bayless.
No.
This is Mr. Corey Sutton, the Kansas State transfer. He's been at for like 2 years now.
Yep.
But Corey Sutton had himself a ball game, ladies and gentlemen. 173 yards receiving. That's... Coming into the game, he had three touchdowns on the year. He had three touchdowns in the game. He literally doubled his season output in one game against Georgia State, one of the better defenses in the conference. Well, not
just,
one of the
just
better,
fantastic, but. Just display.
Three touchdowns, 173 on eight receptions.
Okay, there it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Almost 50% of his catches were touchdowns. Incredible. The kid, 556 yards receiving on the year on 39 receptions. So he's averaging almost 14 yards, basically about 14 yards of reception. Just having a great year for them. I mean, there was a couple guys that stood out. Darrington Evans had another great game. He had 131. Zach Thomas, 256, four touchdowns. I was close to picking him. But then when you go down and you see, I mean, that's a game-changing stat right there.
Absolutely.
You have a guy that almost racks up 200 yards receiving. That and then three touchdowns. I mean, that's 21 points right there. They ended up winning by 19. So there you go. That's the thing.
Literally a difference maker.
Well, excuse me. They won by 29. Yeah, 29. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, sorry.
Still
I'm a journalism
difference
major.
Maker.
They don't teach us math.
No.
That's basically how it is. But yeah, Corey Sutton, my Ben On Sports Player of the Week. He earned it. App State gets the big win. I think that's what their second win as a ranked team, which is really good. We had a really bad stretch there where ranked teams just weren't winning.
Still have a losing record. But.
Still, I think they're 2-3 now, so they've got two wins. But that's the recap for the week. Big game in Atlanta, and App State comes out with a victory. And App State, I think, very, very close to securing their conference championship spot.
And we will, you know what? No, let's go ahead and talk about it now.
Yeah.
I mean, we called it the beginning of the year. Like we said, I think
a lot of people did.
Yeah, it was pretty easy to circle. First of all, App State is the best team in the conference.
Yeah.
And then looking at the West, who you got? Louisiana or Arkansas State? Just about a coin flip at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But Louisiana's offense has been incredible.
It shocked a lot of people.
It has.
I don't think it shocked a lot of people. I think they're, and we've been saying this, and I know we're sounding like a broken record, but I think their physicality shocked a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people thought on both sides of the ball they would be as physical as what Louisiana is, and that's why they're 8-2. That's why they've only given up 181 points on the year. This is a team that they couldn't stop anybody last year, and then this year you got a defense that's putting up and shutting up people. That's basically what they're doing. App State is who we thought they would be. The shocker. I think Georgia State. Georgia State has thrown
absolutely
a wrench in a lot of predictions this year. I think a lot of people have maybe winning four games. They go out; they're already bowl eligible. I think that's the team that is kind of throwing a wrench in a lot of people's plans. But again, App State just sits there 9-1. You had the one bad loss against Georgia Southern, which
I mean, even then,
more puzzling as the weeks go on. To be honest with you, but still,
you know why it's not puzzling? It's because it was a rivalry game.
Yeah, it was on the road, and you would think you just cold on the road
Thursday night
game. You just kind of thought, yeah, maybe you know, first year coach, yeah, but no. App State, I think, is the team in the East. They haven't locked it up amazingly because even though they sit at 5-1, they're still you just don't know. It is the Fun Belt, as they call it, and you want to say this weekend. If they beat Texas State, that basically locks it up. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure. I think Georgia Southern might have an outside shot just because they have the head-to-head. Georgia Southern sitting at 4-2 in conference. App State sitting at 5-1. So if App State were to lose, say, to Troy, and Georgia Southern was to win out, Georgia Southern and App State would both be 6-2. And Georgia Southern would have the head-to-head.
What is Georgia State right now?
Georgia State is 3-3.
Okay, so they're out.
They're pretty much out.
Troy's pretty much out.
There is a crazy scenario out there that still has Troy somehow winning it. App State would have to lose this weekend, lose next weekend. Georgia Southern would have to lose one of the games, and then Georgia State would have to lose one of the games as well. So basically, Georgia State would have to lose this weekend, and then lose, and Georgia Southern would have to lose this weekend, and then Georgia State would have to lose next weekend, and App State would have to lose both weekends. And one of those weekends is to Troy. So that's kind of the scenario right there for Troy to get in it. And then Coastal Carolina, you're kind of out. You're sitting at 1-5. So, but it's not wrapped up by any means. Craziness can happen. Not saying it will. We'll get to that in our picks later, and we will break that down with our picks. But UL 5-1, Ark State 4-2. That's not wrapped up.
You're right.
Depending on what happens with UL, with Louisiana, they've got a rivalry game with Monroe to finish up the year. And they play a scary-looking offense in Troy coming up this weekend, and we'll get into that. So there's plenty. It's not wrapped up, but there's two teams that we've been talking about all year long that have been 1A, 1B, but you still got to go play the game. You still got to wrap this thing up.
I think last time we talked about this, we said 1A, 1B, it was App State, Louisiana. The two A, B, C, D, Troy, Georgia Southern, Georgia Coastal.
Georgia State's
a 2A.
2A.
You know what? And I think what we're going to do is I'm going to divide that up even more and put the three A's.
Okay.
Because Arkansas State, Louisiana, Monroe, Coastal, and Troy, I feel like they're all right in there together.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But
so yeah, a lot of stuff that can happen in these last 2 weeks, and that's what's fun. Like, I mean, I want to see some parity. I want to see some craziness. I was all for Minnesota and Baylor going to the playoff.
Oh, absolutely.
That got shot.
Yeah.
Right down. Apparently, 28-3 leads. Do you know anything about 28-3 leads?
Anyway, let's move on to Around the Belt.
Around the Belt.
And that's right. We're traveling around the belt. That's how it is. The Milky Way? The what belt?
Galaxy? Kuiper Belt? I don't
Something
know.
Belt. I don't know.
This isn't a space podcast.
We ain't talking about space here. We're going to volleyball because we've been talking about all the other sports here. Soccer wrapped up. Women's soccer wrapped up. We'll get to men's soccer here in a second. But volleyball is getting kicked off with their conference championship this week. Actually starts Thursday, November 21st. Arkansas State, Louisiana, 8-5 matchup. And then UTA and App State kick off with the 7-6 matchup. Then you have Troy at the 4 seed, South Alabama 3 seed. Coastal Carolina comes in with a 2 seed.
And of course,
our favorite volleyball team, Texas State,
Bobcats,
coming in number 1, 14-2 in conference, 22-8 overall. Finishing the year on a 3-game win streak in the West Division. And then Coastal Carolina finishing on a 4-game win streak at 13-3. I think that was literally how all the coaches preseason pick. It was Coastal and Texas State were picked to basically win each division. My money, Texas State. They're just that good. I'm trying to see who beat them early in this year. If I can find it here, Louisiana beat them in 5 games. That's one of their losses. And then their only other loss in conference was to Ark State. So Ark State and Louisiana, guess what? They play each other to start the whole thing out. So watch out for one of those two teams because those are the only two teams that have been able to beat them, both of them in 5 games, mind you. So it wasn't like they came in and swept them at all. But both of those two teams will play Troy. Troy waits those. Basically, I think the team to maybe watch out for, you know, we're talking about maybe Louisiana. They're on a 5-game winning streak right now. Maybe getting hot while they get Ark State and Troy as their first 2 games if they win, and then they go play that Texas State squad. So you never know. Coastal Carolina finished the season pretty strong. I think they beat South and Troy. Was their final like little road trip down here in Alabama with a 4-game winning streak as well going in there. So
honestly, I feel like the only way for that not to be Texas State Coastal Carolina is, I mean, obviously there's got to be a loss there, mm-hmm. but the most likely loss I see is South over Coastal.
Yeah.
I just don't see anybody taking down Texas State.
Yeah.
Even though you said, yeah, you've got the two teams that beat them right there
yeah.
in that bracket. But
yeah, South played Coastal to finish up their season. Coastal beat them 3-1, and then Coastal beat Troy in a 5-game set. Pretty solid. No, excuse me, that was the 4-game set. App State beat Troy in a 5-game set. So App State comes in on a 4-game winning streak as well. So the Carolina teams might have something going. But no, I think I'd be shocked to not see Coastal and Texas State. They get the biggest bye. You know, they're not having to yeah. play any games. They're basically having to win one game and they're in the championship. That's
yeah.
all they have to do. So we'll see what happens. That's the other thing. You know, if you're a Louisiana, if you're an Arc State team, you're having to play 3 games just to get that championship game. I mean, that's rough. So, but that's volleyball championship. It's getting kicked off. It's going to be up in San Marcos, Texas. So, Texas State, they don't have to travel. So,
no.
Number one team gets the number one life. And I'm going to go right now. They win the championship.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody beating them.
I honestly think, I mean, it could be somebody else in that number two spot in the championship, but Texas State,
yeah,
you can't stop them.
Home court advantage, and they're playing really well right now to finish the season. So that is women's volleyball. Their championship is getting wrapped up. We'll talk about that, obviously, next week and wrap it up because their championship is on Sunday, November 24th. So we'll wrap that up on Monday. So.
From a sport that is wrapping up now, the wrapping up the post-game or the postseason, to a sport that's really pretty much just getting heated up. Basketball is underway. I haven't looked at the standings. Do you mind pulling that up real quick?
Yeah, I can't really put.
While we're at it, mm-hmm. a team that should be in the standings, a team that is right now, as we speak, 2-0 in the Sun Belt. It is not a team that is in the Sun Belt. Obviously, league play hasn't started. Mm-mm. But the Chattanooga Mocs are now 2-0 in Sun Belt play with wins against both South and Troy.
And to be honest with you, the shocker is that the more competitive game came against Troy.
Which
because everybody's picked Troy to finish dead last in the conference this year, and they didn't lead. Troy led that entire game until the last like minute of that game. Chattanooga ended up winning by about 6 points. But then they go I think South traveled.
No, yeah, they were both in.
They were.
Oh no, wait, Troy game was in Troy.
Yeah, Troy was in Troy. South traveled. I think South emotionally put a lot into that Auburn game.
Early
in the week, and
you had to.
I think it was Craig Stevenson or somebody. The kind of expected letdown when you put all that emotion into a game like that, and you come up by 1 point short. And they go travel to Chattanooga, and they just kind of handled South.
Yeah, and to compare the performances there, not the Falcons quarterback, but the Chattanooga Mocs, I don't know what position he is. Matt Ryan,
wow,
was the number one scorer against Troy and the number two scorer against South. Matt Ryan was 20 points in both games, averaging 20.5.
But how many yards did he throw for?
You know, 283. All right, okay. There's your joke.
All
right. There you go. There it is. But no, you're right. Like I'm a little surprised that Troy was close in this game, just compared to this talent level that South has.
Yeah, I mean, just South obviously picked to win the whole league. You would have thought South would have been able to go on the road, get a nice win over a Chattanooga team, but it just never looked. What was the final score on that game? I can't remember.
90-72.
18-point win, and you give up 90 points after holding Auburn, who's a much better offense, to 70 points, 20 less points.
You let this not even a mid-major like take you
rough,
to almost
rough
100.
First half. I mean, they were outscored 18 points in the first half right there. So yeah, just not the game that Richie Riley probably wanted after Auburn. So no, that's rough. We can get quick into just the standings here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Arc State leads right now. I mean, nobody's playing any conference games. These are all out of conference overall. We got three teams that have only had one loss in Arc State, Little Rock, and Louisiana. So the Arkansas teams, they sure know how to play basketball there. And Louisiana sitting at 3-1. Troy went to Indiana. I know Georgia State has played Georgetown and Duke. That was two really, really good games for them. They played they played surprisingly – actually, no, I'm not even going to say surprisingly well. They're a good team. They only lost to Duke, by I think, by 8. And then they played Georgetown sort of close. Troy, tough loss to UAB. They also played at Indiana last night. Indiana rolled. I mean, that's Big Ten basketball. Sorry, I'm a Big Ten, that's their sport, is basketball. Because you want to know why? It's so cold that all their good athletes go inside and they play basketball. So there you go. Georgia Southern, 2-2 right now. App State at 3-3. App State played 6 games already. Everybody else is at 5 or 4. So App State is just... they're just
get it out of the way
train.
Now. Get it out of the way now.
6 games already into November, and we're halfway through November, and they've already played 6 games. Some teams don't even play that many games in November, so heck of a first month for them.
UTA, I think last year's champion. No. Anyway, point is, UTA, 2-2, one of the teams picked to win this year, for sure. Mm-hmm. They beat a nobody in UT Dallas. They beat Tulsa, which is sort of impressive. It's an American Conference team. But then they dropped games at Nevada and at Oregon. The Nevada game was only lost by 7, but to Oregon, they lost by 20. Not a surprise, though. It's Oregon.
Yeah, you know, are we only talking about men's basketball? Do we want to talk a little bit about
women's basketball? We can talk about women's basketball.
We can talk about women's basketball. Good, because I really wanted to talk about a schedule that I saw. And I think it deals with the UTA women's team.
Okay.
That I think they might have one of the toughest, like, non-conference schedules I've ever seen a Sun Belt team have in a matter of, like, 4 days.
Okay.
Like, literally one of the toughest. Let me see if I can pull it up here.
You said UTA?
Yeah, UTA is the team we're looking at. Yes, okay. So UTA, this week, will play at Kansas State. Then they travel over Thanksgiving break. They will play in
the U.S. Paradise. Virgin Islands.
I guess the U.S. Virgin Islands, which is an awesome trip. They will play the number 9 ranked Louisville Cardinals. Then the next day, they will play the number 1 ranked team in the country, the Oregon Ducks, who, mind you, just beat Team USA. The Oregon Ducks beat Team USA women's basketball team, which is like basically the Washington Generals just beat the Harlem Globetrotters. That's what I'm comparing that to. Because Team USA has only lost 3 times ever to a college team. And both of those times were to, I'm pretty sure, well, one I think was to Notre Dame, the other was to UConn, which
it's UConn.
There you go.
Yeah.
UConn. Their coach is literally the coach of Team USA. So he might have had his players playing. Who knows? And then they play Oklahoma State in 3 days. They will play Louisville, Oregon, and Oklahoma State. That's insane. As a that might be the toughest 3-game stretch I've ever seen a Sun Belt team ever do. If they get one win out of those 4 games, which it might come against Kansas State, that would be impressive. But let me tell you something. That's going to prepare that team. There will be no team in the Sun Belt that will be even near close to being as good as any of those 4 teams that they play right there. So that's what they can say is, look, we're coming in this game. No one's as good as those 4 teams that we played early in the year. So that's why we did it. So that I just had to talk about that. I think we've got some decent games going on tonight or Monday. Troy was playing Mississippi State, but I think Mississippi State's rolling already over him. Troy, I like Troy as a team. They play really fast, but when they play a bigger bodied team that can still run the floor like most of these bigger schools can, the major schools can, they just get bodied. They really do. They're just out physicaled, and that's why, you know, right now, okay, yeah, Mississippi State, they're up by 28 already in the game. So, yeah. But no, a lot of action. It's early. That UTA schedule though, I just had to talk about that.
No,
for
it's
a second,
crazy.
So,
let's go ahead and run through the standings real quick here. For women, Coastal Carolina 3-0, Troy 3-0, UTA only won 2 games. That's gonna change for sure. Louisiana 3-1, Texas State 2-1, and then the rest are 2 or 3 losses.
Yeah.
So
we've got a couple teams that haven't had a win yet. Georgia State, Georgia Southern, ULM, and App State looking for wins.
There's a very obvious cutoff line between Texas State in the number 5 spot and Arkansas State.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it's not like it's a big difference because it's 2-1 and 1-2. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a big difference down the line.
I mean, I'm looking at Georgia Southern. They have lost to Furman and Kennesaw State, both by double digits. So yeah, there's a big drop off. So that'll do it for basketball. And then finally, our last thing that we got to talk about around the belt, the men's soccer tournament. I know we gave them a little bit of hell last week, saying that not everybody has a men's soccer team. It's all Title IX stuff. Not because schools don't want it. It's just Title IX, how you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a traditional, I guess they're traditional now, team that did win the conference championship. They're
involved in a full member school.
Full member school. That's what I'm looking for. A full member school did win it. Georgia State and Coastal Carolina met up in the conference championship game. Coastal Carolina was the number 2 overall seed. Georgia State was the 5th overall seed. And they went to my favorite penalty kicks. It was a nothing-nothing tie going into the penalty kicks.
Ooh, yes.
6-5. That means literally it came down to the final guy kicking. So, Coastal Carolina won 6-5. Sorry, I kind of buried the lead there. But, you know, Coastal Carolina wins the Sun Belt Men's Conference Championship. I think they're going to rally North Carolina to take on North Carolina in their first round game of the NCAA tournament because they got the automatic bid. So congratulations to Coastal Carolina, and I think that'll do it for the Around the Belt, right?
Yeah, let's get back to some football.
Let's do it.
Best bets.
So like we said earlier in the episode, it's do or die time for a couple teams in the Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. Let's get our picks started with one of those games that means the most when it comes to do or die. You got Coastal and ULM.
Yeah, 2-4-6 schools that both were on the wrong side of the, I guess, win-loss column last week. Both of them really could have used a win this week. But now both of them, one team's basically going to be out. Doesn't matter. This is it. And Coastal, you look at their schedule, they play obviously ULM on the road this week, and then they get Texas State. I think they have by far the easier of the two schedules between these two teams because UL Monroe will play Louisiana next weekend after this week, this coming week. So definitely Coastal Carolina, they're going to want to win this game. I mean, both teams are going to want to win this game, but Coastal Carolina has the easier way. Problem is, Coastal Carolina doesn't have Caleb Evans. UL Monroe does.
No, but you know who Coastal does have?
CJ Marable?
Sarah J. Marable.
There you go. but then you counter with Josh Johnson, who has over 1,000 yards rushing, mind you.
Okay. I heard that. That hurt. But here's the difference. What did Josh Johnson do against Georgia Southern last week?
I can tell you he ran the ball a couple of times.
Yeah, he ran the ball a couple times.
He ran the ball.
Run the ball very far.
For 43 yards rushing.
43 yards rushing.
To be honest with you, this is a toss-up. I'm going to go Coastal. I want to see Coastal get to a bowl game. Last year, South Alabama ruined it, basically, in the last game of the year. I think Coastal gets the win here, and I think we're going to be talking about Coastal next weekend, playing Texas State, trying to get to bowl eligibility, which would give you 6 teams, because we're at 5 right now.
Yeah.
And depending on what the third team of the Do or Die does this weekend, might get us to your prediction of 7 bowl eligible teams.
Here's my thing. Coastal has everything going for it. Coastal is on the line, on the track. They have the easiest path to guaranteed bowl games this right now as we speak. ULM has nothing to lose. And which is more valuable? I got to go with ULM. I don't like it. It means both teams are going to be knocked out and neither one of them is going to win. Excuse me, go to a bowl game.
Are you dying over there?
I am. I am dying, and so is my prediction of 7 teams getting to bowl games. See how I turned that on you?
Nice.
I'm going to pick ULM. Just they're at home, too. So.
All right, so we're going to the other do-or-die team, and that would be probably the hottest offense in the conference?
In the conference.
Easily.
In the region.
You know, I was looking today that we're talking this year. We have 3 teams that have been the highest-scoring offenses ever. Just this year with Louisiana, who's averaging, a nice 38.2 points a game. Troy averaging 39.2 points a game. And then App State, I believe, is averaging like 38 or 40 points a game. 38.4, not 40.
So all 3 of these are 38 points a game at least.
And those are 3 of the highest scoring offenses ever in Sun Belt history And they're all in one season. So right there, you're talking about 3. So we get to see 2 of the top offenses in the country, and they do it both very differently. Troy will spread you out, will throw it all over the place, and then they'll sprinkle in a nice 200-yard rushing day somehow. They just kind of sneak that in there every now and then. DK Billingsley, I don't think he gets enough credit.
No.
But DK Billingsley, for being a backup. He has 819 yards rushing on 140 carries.
Well, now,
it's not bad.
No.
For being a backup running back.
But he's not the backup anymore.
He's the starter now, but he was projected to, I mean, he's only the starter because the
B.J. Smith was injured.
Got hurt. So he has 819 yards. Barker, we talked about him, 33,000 yards. And then they go Kalen Geiger. I mean, I'm just looking at top three players here. Kalen Geiger's got 800 yards receiving as well. Guy's a little scat guy that just goes everywhere. I mean, you can put him anywhere on the field. He's going to get the ball. On the other side of the ball, Louisiana, they have the way better defense out of the two teams. We're looking at they only give up 350 yards total offense in the game in a game. Troy, 409. That number has come drastically down for Troy, which has been good over the last couple of weeks. But still, this is a different type of running team. We saw Troy struggle with Georgia State, a power team that wasn't an option-based running team, mind you. They were a power run out of the gun type team, and they struggled with that against Georgia State. Louisiana is the better of that. They're the better version of what Georgia State's been doing this year. That's basically what they are. They have a better backfield. And a quarterback that is might not be Dan Ellington star power, but he can still do the same things I think that Dan Ellington does. But he's a poor man's Dan Ellington. That's what I think he is. I think Levi Lewis is that. I think that's what he is. I mean,
I think that's selling him a bit short though, because based on what he's been able to do. Now I will say, I think Louisiana is the better version of another team. I think they're the better version of Georgia Southern. Because they haven't spread the ball out and passed it nearly as much as I thought they would have by now. Georgia State still has a throwing arm. Mm-hmm. And right now, Caleb Barker is looking like the better Dan Ellington. Let's go ahead and I'm going to say Louisiana is the better Georgia Southern. Okay. Just because they're doing and putting the numbers up that Georgia Southern wishes they could.
Yeah, I guess I go with that. For me, it was all about running out of the gun. And Georgia Southern, they still kind of run from under center and everything, that traditional, kind of spread option type thing.
And both things can be true.
Yeah.
Both things can be true. I'm just looking at this from a statistics and play perspective. Louisiana is doing the things that Georgia Southern wishes they could do. Louisiana is not a triple option team, though.
Yeah.
I think that's the key to that there.
Yeah. Well, going into that backfield, I'm looking. This is the impressive thing. When we were talking about both of them are dynamic offenses, but they do it differently. Georgia Southern, we talked about the three-headed monster at running back. They've got three guys that average over 600, that have ran for over 650 yards or more on the season. Elijah Mitchell?
Yes.
Yeah. Elijah, yep. Not Eli. Okay. Elijah Mitchell, 874 yards. Then you go Trey Regis, 669. And then you go Calais. What is it?
Raymond
Calais. I want to call him Robbie Calais for some
reason. Calais.
Yeah, Ray Calais, 650 yards. There's your three-headed monster. But Troy has their own three-headed monster. Obviously, Caleb Barker throwing the ball over the place. Well, he ain't just throwing it to one guy.
No. That's something I noticed this past weekend against Texas State as I was keeping up with the stats.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a single guy that broke 100 this past weekend.
No. No, I don't think so.
So
he just spread it around. I think Geiger might have been the closest.
363 yards. Yeah. Geiger's always the closest. Geiger's the number one wide receiver now.
Yeah.
But
I said three-headed monster. I didn't do it justice. They have a six-headed monster. Because how often do you see teams have six guys, six, count them, wide receivers, all wide receivers, that have 300 yards receiving or more?
Ooh. Let me play. Kalen Geiger.
Okay.
Brett Clark.
Yep.
Basically
name their top six wide receivers.
That's what I'm doing.
And they've all got over 300.
Kalen Geiger, Reggie Todd, Luke Whittemore, Brett Clark. I just had him.
You're missing the other tall wide receiver that we have.
Trey Eifert.
Nope. He's on the list.
He's on the list. And I'm killing myself because I can't remember it.
Khalil McClain.
That's it.
There you go.
I have him on my fantasy team.
Geiger 802. Todd 551 and McClain 496. That's basically their big three-headed monster right there. So three-headed monster in wide receivers, three-headed monster in running backs. I think the over-under is at 78 right now, which is incredible. I think our man Scott Watkins told us or tweeted out saying that I think that's the second highest over-under for this weekend, and the other one includes Washington State. So anytime Washington State's in the game, it's going to go high. Louisiana did start out as a 15-point favorite and this is Monday that we're recording this. Since then, money has dropped it all the way down to 13. So it could come down even more.
Let's take a look at that FBI percentage.
It's close. 82 to 17.
Ooh.
That's it's very, very close to the Colin Cahill crazy meter. Crazy metric, I should say. But you want to know what? I'm having fun. Troy's playing for everything. UL, they're, or excuse me, Louisiana, is they're just playing to win their division. But Troy has got way more on the line. It's do or die week for them. I think this is an exciting game, real exciting game, because I think both offenses are about to shred some defenses.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I think.
For sure.
I mean, we heard Napier. They've never played a team like Troy this year. I think the physicality of Louisiana gets to Troy, but I think it's basically which defense can make a stop first.
I agree with you. And I agree with your decision saying, you know, I'm going to go with the team that's got more to lose, because that's literally what I just did with ULM. But my thing is, Louisiana is just unstoppable, and that's something I said on Twitter. It's something I'll say now. I'll say it to your face if you ask me about it. Louisiana is unstoppable. Give me them Cajuns, but take Troy with the spread.
With the spread? You think they cover they cover 13
Troy covers. The thing with Troy is, they are winless in games decided by 10 points or fewer. And there's been, what, three of them already? At least?
Yeah, also, for this game, keep in mind who takes the lead going into that fourth quarter. Troy is undefeated when leading going into the fourth quarter. They haven't won a game yet when they go into the fourth quarter trailing. So, keep in mind that.
No, it's going to be important to remember.
Yeah.
So
next game, let's go out to Texas State. Big game for App State as they're trying to wrap up. Basically, if they win this game, they've got it wrapped up. It, depending on what happens with Georgia State, and they obviously play a low team too. We'll get them too. But App State, sorry, Texas State, you're playing for next year. That's what you're doing. You're playing for next year. App State's not going to trip up on this one. I do think now if you look at the spread here, 29, I think Texas State keeps it within that. I think Texas State keeps it about a 20-point game. I think App scores a couple of scores late in the fourth quarter to get it to 20. But I think App's physicality, and I think the fact that App is kind of learning how to throw the ball downfield now. I mean, you saw Thomas had 260 yards passing this past weekend.
There's no doubt that that offensive coordinator, I don't know his name, is going to be watching some of that Troy tape.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the way Caleb Barker shredded. But the way that Appalachian State plays, they're more balanced and more conservative, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. I don't see them getting as many. They're not going to hit 63, but I don't think it's going to be close for App State. Mm-hmm. If they do hit 63, I'll come back on this show next week and say something nice about App State.
Yeah, spread's at 30 right now. It's actually gone up 1 point since the opening of it. So, but no, App State for sure. Let's go down to Atlanta. We're going to go see Georgia State and South Alabama. Oh, South. I was crazy to pick Troy. You already penciled me in for Georgia State.
I'm willing to change it.
Get the eraser out.
It's a pencil. All right.
Because Georgia State, I guess Dan Ellington's playing. But Dan Ellington obviously isn't Dan Ellington. He is literally playing on one leg at this point. I think we see Cornelius Brown, who is the big 6'5", 200-pound quarterback they got from Alabama. The state of Alabama, not Alabama. I think we see him a little bit. But, you know, we were talking earlier. At least Texas State has... Sorry, I thought you were sneezing.
I was. Why did you stop?
Well, we can cut it. I've never seen somebody hold a sneezing like that. Did you actually hold it in?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Good for you. Okay. So as I was saying earlier, Texas State, they have that win that you can kind of sit on. South hasn't had that yet. I think this is it. I think South Alabama, they finally get a win here. It's going to be wild. I think there's going to be some crazy stuff, but I think South Alabama gets a win here, and that is the win that saves a lot of people's misery over the offseason for South Alabama. I think they get the win here.
You know, if the do or die, I guess the response to do or die is what teams have nothing to lose. And you're absolutely right. South Alabama has nothing to lose at this point. and Georgia State has everything to lose. But I just don't see that offense losing that many steps. South Alabama's great, and I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled the upset this weekend, but it's going to be that, an upset. Mm-hmm. There's no reason Georgia State should lose this game, and I'll say that.
That's fine. You're probably going to be right, but I just...
See, the thing is, I want you to be right because I, as much as I despise South Alabama, I love chaos, and I would love to see...
It's Fun Belt, baby.
Absolutely.
It's Fun Belt.
So
now for our last conference game of the weekend, we go to Georgia Southern and Ark State, two teams that are already bowl eligible. The spread on this one, the smallest of the weekend, 1.5 points, leaning towards, and it's down to one, leaning towards Ark State. Ark State obviously coming off that... crazy close win to Coastal Carolina. That took a lot off of them. I think this is a tough game because you don't know what Georgia Southern team you're going to get. Are you going to get the Georgia Southern team that just shuts down a run game? I know Ark State doesn't really have that. But again, Ark State has Omar Bayless. We saw what Troy was able to do against Georgia Southern with their wide receiver core. We've always said Ark State is what Troy with a good wide receiver, a better wide receiver. I think Omar Bayless goes off. I think Omar Bayless finally gets a little bit. He was selected for the Biletnikoff Award semifinalist. I think this game right here, he needs to have like a buck 50 and about 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Here's my question. How is that beat up defense going to hold Georgia Southern? Mm-hmm. Because the key to Troy winning and not even winning as big as it did, the key to Troy holding Georgia Southern back was that defense.
Yeah, 9 sacks.
9 sacks. Will Cholo, Antoine Webb. Barker, Marcus Webb, and Carlton Marshall all getting in the backfield. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go the other way. Man. I'm gonna go Southern. This is a real spicy weekend.
That's 3 games where, man, we're going to either somebody's going to go like 0-5 or.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
But we're probably going to go like 3-2.
Flip-flop them.
The point is, Southern has got. It's licking its chops after the Troy loss, mm-hmm. and that Arkansas State defense is still pretty weak.
Oh yeah, they're still giving up 480 yards a game. Their defense
and how many of that's on the ground?
215.
That's less than half.
Yeah, 264. But
if you attack a weakened defensive line. Yes, I know that they've got most of their the leaders still on that line. Mm. But you tag that weak core, then Georgia Southern's...
It's really not a bad pick. We saw Coastal Carolina. They're a team that's going to run the ball at you.
Yep.
And I mean, Coastal Carolina got 251 yards. The problem is Coastal Carolina just turned the ball over. I mean, it was a sloppy game. So I can see that happening. I can really see that happening.
Keep talking.
With Georgia Southern, coming into the ball game, 316 yards of total offense. We all know what they do. They run the ball. But their defense is shockingly good. I mean, they're only giving up 144 on the ground. They are giving up 235 on the air. And, of course, when you have a guy like Lane Hatcher that can be throwing to an Omar Bayless, I mean, this is a game where Omar Bayless is going to have to be Omar Bayless. And Omar Bayless has got to be a game changer, which most of the time he is. But this time he's really got to put his effect on this game.
You said Coastal's big problem was turnovers. Mm-hmm. Georgia Southern tied for 16th in the country, turnovers.
Watch out.
So that's why I'm picking Georgia Southern. I got the stats behind me. Let's leave the conference for a little bit. This is a game that a couple weeks ago would have been a heck of a game, but it's gone a little south.
Tulane's just falling apart. Tulane is just really falling apart.
I mean, I love Tulane. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
UCF's way too good. UCF is scoring 448 points on the year. Let me tell you something. There's some good offense in the American. There's 3 teams that have scored over 400 points. Troy is the highest scoring team in the Sun Belt. They've scored 390.
Yeah.
So imagine Troy's offense. They're averaging 40 points a game, and there's three teams in the American that are averaging 41 points or more. So that's an insane stat. So
I think that the Missouri game is what really hurt Troy.
Oh, probably. I mean, he only scored 7 points, but other than that, I think they've scored 30 or 20-something points or more in every game. No, I think it's too much UCF. They're only a 6-point favorite, but it's in, mind you, it's in New Orleans.
Yep.
Crazy things happen in New Orleans. Don't tell your moms about it. but no. No, I think UCF gets it. They're looking for a 10-win season. They're 7-3 right now. They get a Tulane team at home, and then they host South Florida for the rivalry weekend next weekend. So, no, I think they're looking for 10 wins, and I think this is part of it. I think UCF gets the
– Tulane is 1-3 over the last four games, mm-hmm. but I think the biggest margin of loss – oh, well, that's Memphis.
The Tulsa game was really bad because Tulsa was not a good team for them to lose to, and they lost to them.
No, they beat Tulsa.
They beat Tulsa.
They beat Tulsa. Excuse me. They barely lost to Temple, which is a solid team.
Yeah.
And they lost to Navy by 3 points, which is a good team. Yeah. Guess what?
are we flopping on that one,
We're
too?
We're flopping on that one,
Let's
too.
Let's do it.
Flopping all over the place.
So one game we agree on, and that was App State over Texas State. Good
well, we
night.
Both
Sorry,
watched,
Texas State.
We both watched the Troy South. Yeah.
All right, well, that's another exciting weekend exciting week for the Bench Boys. We will be back next week, right before Thanksgiving. Our tummies, we are starting to not eat ever until next week.
Oh, I'm going to stuff myself.
Yeah.
You have to roll me out the door.
And then Thanksgiving, it's all going to come back. So, but no, a lot of stuff happening. We're boiling down. I still don't think, this is my prediction for this weekend, I don't think any division will be decided this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's gonna come down to the last weekend.
I see the East being decided.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
But that's what it is. If you want to keep up with us and you want to give us crap for our picks this week, he's Colin Cahill at Colin Cahill. I'm Thomas Gleaton at Thomas Gleaton. We are the OG Bench Boys at the OG Bench Boys. Make sure you slap that subscribe button because it just said something bad about your mama. We're everywhere podcasts are found. So if you like a place and we're not there, let us know. Have a great weekend, y'all.
Come on back.